Welcome, everyone. This is VR Jungle, a Havoc podcast. I am your host, Geralt C, and alongside me, I have my lovely co-host, Cuss, with me. We're doing something a little different. The last two podcasts, we kind of showed every website of our affiliates. They're up top, so I'm just going to talk about them, and we also have a guest today, so I'm having their link tree plastered right on the front while I'm going over the spiel. So just to start with it, we have ProTube, who we use for our gun stocks. We have W for our number one energy, and then we have Rucka for our decals and our pro straps that we have over there. And then we have VR Cover, who uses nice hygienic type of covers using a type of leather called PU leather that is better than the normal foam stuff that can have a whole bunch of germs in them and then make you break out. So if you want to check out all of those, they're in the link in the description at the bottom. They're up there because we personally use them, and I have vetted them out through multiple companies that I've used before. And now get to the main attraction here. We have VR Central's link tree, which is also in the link description right now if you want to check him out. They have a Discord, YouTube, Twitch, TikTok, current giveaway, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, merch store, AMVR discounts, a long list. Even iFunny, I haven't heard of iFunny in a long time.
And you're not knowing what iFunny is?
Oh, I know what iFunny is.
Okay,
that's
okay,
why,
good.
And that's why I thought it was funny, because I was like, man, iFunny was before the Vines and the TikToks. I used to spend hours on iFunny. And so, and then you have stream donation to Patreon. That. And so we're going to go ahead and switch over there. But yeah, like I said, today's guest, we have VR Central. Let me switch over to the live scene. VR Central, which is not also VR Central. His whole channel is VR Central. His name and his Discord and that he goes by is Wise Director. And as for this podcast, we're going to call him Wise. And as you can see, he's fully decked out in gear today. And Cuss wanted to join him and put a suit on. Hopefully you're all doing well. And so Wise, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, man. I'm happy to be here. I really like the setup that you guys got here. I was very surprised to see your co-host come in here in a suit, and then as soon as he saw my headset on, he slapped on his Valve.
Yeah.
I'm fast with it. I'm quick with the uptake. What can I say? The Army's taught me one thing.
Happy to be here, and happy to see the whole VR Jungle crew. Anybody that wants to pop in, I see that we already got Luke in the chat over there. That's a community member of mine. I also do want to dedicate me being here today to our admin that unfortunately had passed away recently. My heart goes out to you, AZ. My heart goes out to your family. I hope you're resting okay. Yeah, we were VR brothers all back in 2017 and onward, and my life would not be the same without him. So shout out to you, brother.
Yeah, definitely shout out. Yeah, and sorry for your loss. Your whole community, you know, it's always a sad thing hearing about someone losing, you know, a life throughout the VR community, just as a whole, just because the community is so tight knit that you know, even that ripples throughout not just your community but through multiple communities as well. So definitely sorry for your losses out there, but other than that, how you been? I know that you just did a giveaway for a headset, so that's pretty cool. And then I've been seeing you playing Ghosted Abor. So how has that been going?
Oh, I am fully addicted to Ghosted Abor. That thing is dangerous for my free time. I've been going in there trying to loot as much as I can, taking all the stuff back to my place, you know, showing it off, and like I've got stuff organized, like, you know, here's like the canned food, here's the water bottles, even just little knickknacks and everything. I've got everything dedicated on different shelves. I've even got a full like spoon shelf where I've just been collecting all shelf. I've been collecting every spoon I can find, because the spoons in that game represent power. I am dedicated to have the most spoons
that's hilarious.
In Ghosted Abor by the end of the year. Because then I can flex on everybody.
As soon as I can convince
Scott to add in melee mechanics into the spoon, I will be killing people with the spoon in that game.
Yes.
Wait, can you kill people with the spoon?
No, I tried it and I got shot in between the eyes. But as soon as he adds that, I'm going to be in there. I'm going to be in there immediately trying to spoon somebody to death.
Scott, if you hear this, that needs to happen, because I'm so down with that, because there's been multiple like movies where it's like, I heard the man killed someone with a pencil,
Yeah.
And then he kills him with a pencil. I don't know. I can't remember what movie that is, but
John Wick.
Yeah, John Wick. Yeah, that's right. John Wick did that.
I'm having flashbacks to that Rick and Morty episode where he goes, "A spoon, Morty? You threw me a spoon? There's a table Morty, you over can't, here. You hand me the one thing that can never kill anybody."
That was the which one? That was that the Purge one. Yeah, that one was a good episode.
So yeah. So I've been playing Ghost of the Boar as well. I killed two people right at the very beginning of it, and I laid them both in the bed with each other, and put them to bed. And so a lot of people got to enjoy that over on my stream the other day. It's just I want to love the game, you have to embrace the gunk bugs. That's going in the bugs yeah. right now because
there is definitely a lot of
there's
jank.
A lot of ways to get around them. I mean I'm losing gear, like I lost two or three of the best sets of armor in the game right now. I lost them because the it was in my stash and it was just like gone. No armor for you.
Yeah, see, I saw somebody else's stream where, like, you know the closets where you can put the armor in?
Yeah, that's what
I saw
in,
someone else's stream where like you could put stuff on like the he put stuff on the shelf above it, and I was just like, okay, that must be a safe spot to put it on. So I put a whole bunch of stuff on those top shelves in the locker, and they were just gone.
Yep.
That's just for helmets.
I was in the middle of walking in the island, and I was doing great. It had all my good shit on me. Game crashed. Lost everything.
Yeah, I had also a similar situation.
So I've been...
It was depressing. I do currently have $1.1 million in the game right now from how much I've been playing and looting.
So you want to know my stash worth, right? Or what I have? I have $2.5 million. And max traders for the important ones. Yeah.
I don't even want to hear it. I'm like, you start with $600,000 with the Founders Edition. I am down $200,000.
Sir, you're doing something wrong.
No.
See, here's your problem is that he's spending money like a law-abiding citizen. I take what I want. You pay for the shit, I take it from you.
What's your favorite map? That's the real question.
I gotta favor the island.
Yeah. I like the island, but you know what the loot spots are for? It's Silo, man. Silo and the elevator shaft.
Silo is good, but it's also dangerous. What I would recommend if anybody's a newer player that's listening to this,
if
you're gonna go into island, go in there with what you have. Go in there with the good shit. Mm-hmm. If you're gonna go into Silo, go in there with bare minimum.
Nothing.
Like, don't
like
go
a pistol.
In there with your Go in there with pistol. You know, maybe a shotgun if you want to like pop somebody with it. But if you go in there with like your full like maxed out AR, it's not gonna help you that much in the long run because like sure
you
may be
AP
able to
like
spray
me.
People, but all it takes is one lucky bastard to be camping around a corner and just pop you because the angles are so tight. Everybody can almost hear each other in the silo at like multiple different floors just because it's so tightly niched that you're liable to lose everything if you go in there with your good stuff.
Yeah, not only that, but people don't understand that alpha players got like 6 months of experience just playing single map,
of
understanding jank, and learning everything. That's why I stay away from it, because there was one point in alpha that I was just trying to make content for Scott and just like trying to push things out there on and I was killed constantly, and I found out that through alpha that there's files that you could know exactly who was in who's playing, how to load into their map, and how to find them instantly and kill them. And
I think that's been changed.
It's been changed with the current build, but I'm like, dude, I'm just trying to make content. And
the thing that I got lucky with is that I got onboarded onto that project so early on that whenever I was making stuff for it, there was nobody playing. Like, there was maybe, like, three people that were dedicated to the game, and that was about it. And I was able to make some stuff for pretty early on, and I made, like, a whole, like, cinematic trailer for Ghost of Tabor, kind of, like, taking some of the little concepts they had and, like, expanding on it to try to, like, make it, like, a movie trailer, but also, like, shows you how to play the game and, like, what's in the game and everything. And a lot of that was like me just ad-libbing it, just taking different scenes, going in there and trying to like kind of poke the bear at the AI to get them to do certain things for me, to like just have like free actors in there for me.
Yeah, that's funny.
Question for him. VR stuff, right?
Uh-huh.
Is your fan buzz? My fan buzzes.
Occasionally.
Okay, so how do you fix it?
It really only like buzzes if like you move a lot, and it's mainly because of the fact that it's like running on a spinner. So if like if you're like constantly like looking up and down, left to right, and all that, it's gonna buzz a lot. But I feel like I keep my head pretty stable, and I normally use the joystick to be able to turn.
I know. So for me, I'm a mixture. It's either full body or thumbs. You know. So like in Tabor, I'll peek the corner, And then I will like move my my mouse, move my thumbstick to move left and right. But otherwise, I move a lot through VR.
Well, I mainly only turn, because you got the button right here to turn on and off. I mainly only turn it on if my head is just like completely stable. At the moment, it's just like you don't really need to have it on 24/7. I mainly just like if I go back to safe house to turn on whatever, you know, or
like
a different game during intermission.
It cools down your face, like honestly, like 5 to 10 degrees. Like,
well, nice. For me, I don't really feel the face cooling, but it's going to increase the life of your. When I made a review video on this thing, it increases the life of your index because you know anything is subject to heat damage. You know, you take a CPU cooler off your CPU, that thing's not going to last very long. No. If you start to make anything on here, any kind of technology, you try to add any kind of coolant to it, it's going to increase the life of it. And so you don't want to have it to where your index, $1,000 index, is going to crap out in, you know, a few years.
Yeah, I've had this one for probably 2 years now, and it's reaching the end of its life cycle from all the...
What's the problem with mine? You can't see it, but essentially the part right here, this plastic snapped open. And literally the springs came out, so I can't even move this side of the headset open up. I've just got to like move the left side and like finagle myself out of the headset.
So I have an issue where my earbud piece here or the speaker is loose. So like when I jolt my head forward, the fucking speaker will fly with it. I'm like, oh, damn it.
I mean, these things are normally pretty durable, you know, considering the amount of hours I put into it. I'd say the only thing that is literally made out of paper mache is the thumbsticks.
Yeah, I've gone through probably 4 or 5 left.
Not 100% true.
Vive wands are fucking indestructible.
Well, the Vive wands don't have a joystick, but the joysticks that are good, and if you get the original Rift controllers, those things are literally like the LG phones of VR controllers. My brother's cat, when I was taking care of him for like the first week in our new apartment, and because he was away on some kind of trip, he kind of like snuck his way up to where my controllers were resting on my headset because I just set down my stuff. And he took it by the wrist strap in his mouth. And I guess like whenever it dropped, it scared the shit out of him because he didn't know what he grabbed. And then his jaw locked. He ran through the apartment at like Mach 7, banging against so much stuff that I thought that the house was like getting broken into. And then when I came out, my controller was sitting on the ground. There was like paint on it from me bashed up against the baseboard, the coffee table. Like that thing should by all means have been broken if it was any other controller, but it just had like a few scratches and like a little crack on the A button, and then that was it. Like the rest of it was completely fine, no damage, or worked 100% fine as if nothing happened.
Honestly, the Rift S, is that the one you're talking about?
No, the original Rift. Original?
So the Rift S controllers were pretty durable too, but I've seen people like smash them on like their walls and stuff doing like Melee games.
Yeah, but the beef I have with the Rift S is just the fact that like the mic will crap out after like a few months to where you sound like a robot.
I don't understand that. Like, I don't know what happens to it to where it does that, but like,
every headset that I've known has like one major flaw at least that like makes me not want to use it. With the with that one, it was the mic. With the Rift, I did like it, and it lasted for a lot longer than it probably should have. But at some point, because the way that it was designed, and I guess the engineers didn't really think about this, with where you put the headset on, you actually have to like pull it back, and then like it'll like snap on like elastic. Yeah. But even though like it wasn't elastic, it was just like the springs in there were like pulling it back. But what they didn't consider was the fact that the audio ribbon was like here going through the headset. Oh. So whenever you're pulling on it constantly, you know, it wears down that audio ribbon to where eventually the speakers like on my headset cut out. You know, other than that, it was fine. It was a great headset. But like, you know, after I think it was that lasting me like 3.5 years. The audio just completely cut out on one side, and then it cut out another, and I was just deaf.
All right, I'm going to ask the question. Who is VR Central? Or what is the VR Central brand? I'll put it that way.
I was about to say, I was like, you better get into these questions here, Cass, because I was about to jump right in and ask.
I got you. No, I got you.
No, I mean, you know, it's just a little thing I started back in 2017. I had some inspiration back in the day for from some people that like really brought some joy to my life through just making YouTube videos and having fun. And at the time, the only headset I had was like the Gear VR that you put your phone into.
Oh my God.
And I really loved that. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to do what these guys do, but I'm going to like mix it with my love of VR. So I just started like making videos, and it just kind of went off from there. I never really imagined it would get to this point at all in my life, but it's, you know, overall the brand, I guess, is just to be able to help people out in any way that I can. You know, I've been pouring my own money into, you know, every month into trying to, like you said earlier, give out headsets. We had that Ghost of Tabor stream where, like, I literally decided that morning, like, you know what? I'm going to give out some copies of this game. And I live streamed it, and we gave out like 10 copies of Ghost of Tabor that day out of my pocket because I wanted to support the developers and, you know, just like helping people find their new loves for VR games with reviews, as well as help the developers get discovery. Just, you know, making comedy stuff just to try to bring a little joy to people's lives, doing, you know, whatever I can in order just to bring a little light into people's lives.
That's fair, man. Hey, I'm glad for your mission. I try to do the same thing in my daily pursuit, you know?
Yeah, and then so you have all this gear on, and obviously your knowledge of VR is pretty adequate. So with all the gear, is there anything that you would strip away that you are that this is you now when it comes to haptic vests? Will you eventually get into more of things like the Cat VR?
I have that.
You do have a Cat VR, because I didn't. Yeah. Did you do it with the Ghost of the Boar one, or you didn't have on for the Ghost of the Boar one?
I didn't use it for that. I mean, I mean, if you want to, I can actually talk about, like, you know, certain things about what's good about it and what's not. I've also got this right here, where the chair that I'm sitting in, this is the chair that you get with the cyber shoes if you've ever used those.
No, I've seen
those.
Yeah,
those are weird.
I haven't gone too much into fully exposing, you know, like putting stuff onto my body like you have. And so just for like the people that don't know, because a lot of people, like, as you know, where the percentage of VR is right now, 80% of it, up to probably 85%, if not more, is just Quest standalone, where a lot of these things cannot be put on unless you have a PC VR. So would you go ahead and explain, like, what's on your body, what you use, and why you use it, and how has it enhanced your vision of VR? Has it made it better? Has it complicated it? Can you do without it?
Is so, that stream buttons on your arm? First off, hold on. Is that stream, like, for your...
So this is an Elgato stream deck.
Yeah, I thought it was a stream deck. Okay, I knew what it was. Shit,
yeah, so funny. Essentially with the stuff that I'm using right now, these are the haptic arm pieces. These mainly don't provide like in-time feedback if you were to get like shot in the arm or something like that. That's mainly just like for whatever the vest and face are, but these ones are designed for like if you're playing an FPS game to give you real haptic recoil and things like that. Along with like haptic feedback in case you're using something for your hands. So like, you know, if I'm playing an FPS game, feel recoil. If I'm playing Skyrim, I can like feel the like the fire shooting out of my hands, like the ice and that kind of stuff. For like the magic and all that. That's mainly what they're for. The face piece is really just to like kind of add to the sensation of everything else. It's very rare that, you know, you'll actually feel something in the face, because most time people aren't really shooting for your head. So you know, sometimes you'll get like a little bulge in between the eyes, something like that. The top part right here is actually the control panel that controls the face piece. Like, this has the battery and it like connects to the computer and all that and sends the signals into the face piece in here. And it just kind of like adds on to it. It's really only used for like, I guess, you know, weather aspects, as well as if you get shot in the face. So like, you know, if there's wind or rain or whatever, it can also feel that. The vest is really where the main action's at. Like, if you're going to get any kind of haptic stuff, like, the vest is the number one thing. Mm-hmm. They've got two models, which is the X16 and the X40, which the only difference is the number in there. So the X16 will have 8 haptic motors on the front, 8 on the back, and then, you know, 40 has 20 in the front, 20 in the back. It's used for, you know, you can feel the recoil come from, like, over here, like, up into the top part of your chest. You can feel, like, weather. Bullets from all around. So like, and it actually does help out with the VR experience sometimes if you don't know what's happening. I've stopped paying attention to in-game indicators. That's like, you're getting shot over here. If there's like a little like a red circle or whatever in your FOV, I'm like, oh, I know I got shot like in my back left, and I'll just whip around. You know,
yeah,
it's,
I'm excited
it helps
for that
with,
myself. I'm trying to get one soon.
It helps with directionality. Well, you know, you might want to wait on the vest, because I'll tell you about that. But because there is some new stuff coming soon I can talk to you guys about if you want.
Yeah,
I got to test at CES firsthand.
I'm definitely down for that.
You know, it helps with directionality. It's really cool for certain aspects like the wind and all that. Like, if I'm playing Population 1, if you have the full suit, I can feel the wind going, like, you know, face, down the vest, down the arms, all that, like, full immersion. If I'm using the vest, I can feel things like consumables. I can feel the feedback of anything from consumables in Population 1 to sanity pills and phasmophobia. You know, you've got all that kind of stuff for all the different feedbacks. I can feel like an embrace if I play Skyrim VR. I can like feel the dragon soul like enter into my body. It's that's freaking wicked. Nuts.
That's crazy.
It's the most terrifying experience. The two most terrifying experiences that I've had with the vest so far have been dying in lava in Minecraft VR. I don't know why, but the sensation is just not okay for me. Like, yeah. I don't like it. That, and the worst part is if you play Phasmophobia with the vest, the
when they kill you?
Yeah, so the way that the developers designed it is they've actually got different haptic tactiles that get activated. So the way that this stuff works is, you know, obviously the game has registry of you getting hit with something. You know, if I get shot with a bullet right here, the game is going to register, okay, he got shot right here. It's going to send it to activate a tactile to activate this particular haptic motor, and it does that all in real time. Mm-hmm. And normally, so you'll know what a bullet feels like. You know, it's always the same tactile that gets sent just in different spots. What's terrifying about Phasmophobia is that they have a folder that randomizes the feedback. So I never know how it's going to feel when the ghost kills me, because it randomizes it between, like, you know, 13 to 15 different haptic feedbacks. I've had little things like I can feel them, like, feeling my sides and, like, squeezing me all up to, like, you know, I can the worst one was, like, I felt, like, feedback down the center and then ripple out like it was ripping open my chest.
No. That's cool. Dang. So I have a major question about the chest that I've always been interested in, and I want to get someone who uses it all the time as opinion on it. So when it comes to lane events and stuff like this, and I think Cuss is going to know where I'm going with this because I ask about it all the time. So with lane events, I want...
You mean LAN events, like people like getting together IRL?
Yeah. So like the Miami event that they had for Vail.
I was there for that too. I love that.
Yeah, so something like that, when people are on stage and people that are watching VR don't really get to see what's going on because, you know, there's people wearing headsets. They get to see what's going on the screen. But other than that, they're just seeing their movement going around. But they don't get to see them getting shot, stuff like that. They had indicators on when they died on their headset, which was pretty cool. But what would your opinion be on putting a haptic vest on to where it, when they got shot, it altered their ability to play? Like, it hurt so... It hurt in a way to where it... Obviously, it's not going to break a rib or anything, but it was enough to, like, really jolt you like you just got tased.
Well, the what I think might I think I would do that. And actually, there is a vest coming out that's that could do that.
See, that's
the
one thing I would think
would be cool is like if there was a way to be able to like adjust putting on weight or something like that in real time, like on like an arm. Like if I got shot in the arm, like it's weighed down to where I'm like, oh, I can't use, like my arm is like dead, you know. That would be pretty cool. But the what you were talking about with, like, you actually getting shocked, there is a new vest coming out. I'm sure you guys have heard of it, the OWO vest.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. It's like a haptic feedback shirt. So that with that one, it requires you to have skin-to-skin contact. It has electrodes lined on the inside mesh of the shirt. So you put it on, and it has, like, a little controller in your pocket, and it sends that feedback to you real time and shocks you. That thing can go from 0 to 80 as far as the scale. They put it on, like, I think it was like 18, and I was losing control of my muscles in my left arm. Like, so, it was
what
nuts.
What if it malfunctions?
Well, then I'll probably die, but I'll die
probably
a hero.
Not. It's bad. It probably won't have enough battery power to be able to do that, but funny.
You probably won't be able to wear it if you have a pacemaker. I can tell you that. That thing will.
No, it does have warnings in there. There was actually a fellow creator that went to CES that wasn't able to use it because she was pregnant.
Pregnancy, all that stuff.
Yeah.
But I would 100% I would go see events more often if they were getting shocked enough to where it really messed with me. Because you see games like Contractors where it's like, yeah, they're getting shot, but they can be shot a lot. Now imagine being shot a lot, but being shocked at the same time a lot. You're gonna have some issues going on.
So the OWO vest is gonna be compatible with Contractors, like, on release.
Oh, dude, that you're gonna feel. What it's gonna happen is it's gonna make people play so strategically, and they're not gonna just run and gun.
Change the way I play a lot. What I was thinking about doing, and then after, and I said this before I got to test the vest, and then after testing the vest, I'm regretting it. But I said I would, like, host a raffle in my Discord, and, like, we'll pick a random winner, and whoever wins, to make a video will go like into Contractors Onward, and they have permission to unload a full LMG onto my vest on max
power. LMG? Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh,
that's pain. I love it.
What's going to happen is that you're going to have the shock going to do it on your abs, and so maybe you'll get like a six pack from it.
I'm hoping that's the goal.
Yeah, yeah.
I can already see the title, LMG to abs.
Oh, no. Oh my god, that's funny. So what is your favorite game out right now for VR? Well, one of your favorites, because you can never have one.
I mean, I can give you a top five right now. Let's, if you want.
Go ahead, top five.
All right. Like, not in any order. These are just like the top five overall. Okay. Ghost of Tabor.
Oh, definitely.
Contractors.
Okay.
Vertical Shift. Demio. Crap, what was the other one? I had the list in my head.
Breachers.
You know, I think I'll put
it's not released yet. It's not released yet.
I think
you gotta play Alpha. He played Alpha.
I played the hell out of the Alpha. I think Breachers.
I love Breachers.
I will say, contending that Breachers is still the same upon full release, I think that it will be top five. Because I played games that were amazing in beta, and then they just completely screwed over like the very beginning of it, and like on the launch and all that. And I hope that doesn't happen.
I know exactly what you're talking about, and I am scared. So it comes out on the 13th, which is a Thursday, which most
I'll be on vacation. Fuck.
And so the scary thing is that we only got one map. We only got certain things to test in Alpha. They're not beta testing it at all, these new maps and things. Someone said, yeah, we were part of the beta test. I asked because I want to be part of it. And they're like, we are not doing a beta test. We're going straight to release. And I feel like with all the issues they had with the main map, like, obviously people are going to be breaking the other maps.
I think they're going to do what Six Siege did, if you were familiar with Rainbow Six Siege. They're going to rework maps, They're going to take it out of the map pool for, a small duration of time and then put it back in. I think that's what they're going to go with it, because that's the only way to launch the game and still have a large community playing. It is going to suck, though, if we only have one map, but I doubt that. I think we're going to have
upwards for their servers. Their servers were having issues at the beginning. And yeah, they better
still have and bot issues unless they fix them. Like it's but it's a work in progress,
I don't want to hear the bot shit. You weren't playing the game when it first came out. Those bots would 360 one shot you with the shotgun.
I was playing.
Yup.
Oh, yeah. Yup. Okay. Maybe not then, but still the bots are still we're working on them and they're still doing great for it. Like, but at least there's not a missing teammate. At least you have a bot comparatively.
Yeah.
I mean, the bots were they became at the tail end of it. They were a really good and aggressive on defense, and they defended that thing with their lives. But then on offense, they were just wandering around the building. Like, they had no idea where to go.
Yeah, I think it's because the program. I don't know if the programming. I think it's just breach and clear for them. I don't think it's
just it's direct it's to site. Trouble for them to decide how to get in there and then which bomb site to go to. I guess.
And in the most path effective they take, manner. They clear the whole thing. Probably, I don't know, it's something weird. I'm curious. What do you think about Ghost of Tabor? Is like a downfall? Because there's so many ups, besides the bugs. Because we all know, Tabor's got bugs, but that's okay because they're working, dude. They've been killing it on fixes. Like the hot fix the other day, I think it was a week ago now. There was at least 30 to 40 different things that was fixed, repaired. But what do you think for them?
I'd say the downfall would just be other than the bugs, because obviously we've got stuff disappearing and all that kind of stuff.
That happens, yeah.
I'd say probably just making sure that you have a large enough player basis to compensate for the amount of people that are the large maps that are in there and everything.
Yeah.
That and the lack of being able to maybe make a private server, because what I would like to see from Ghost of Tabor, just because of the fact that I've got a large community and whenever I'm live streaming, it's difficult to try to sometimes I just have to tell people no, it can't happen, because you've got these raids. It'll take 30 to 45 minutes per raid, and then we'll survive most of the time. There's very few times that I got killed and lost my stuff just because I upgraded so much. And so because we do the full max time on all these raids, it's got to be an issue of like trying to rotate people in to be like, all right, let's get the next people in, let's play with them. I would like to see a no loss private server where like we can load in, everybody can get their squads, we can, you know, have four squads, a 3-12 man island map, we can like go in there, you can bring whatever you want. And, you know, like, it's kind of like practice with your friends against your other friends and be like, all right, you know, let's see what we can do. It's kind of like turning it into a one life, you know, onward uplink type scenario. Mm-hmm. But it's like, hey, you've got to go in there and shoot your buddies.
So, like, the practice, I know there's practice server. I don't know how it works entirely. I don't know if you can bring people in. I haven't played it. I just play, you know, multiplayer.
I don't know if you can bring a squad into there, but it is mainly designed for training. Like, you load into there and it's bots.
Yeah.
And you can't, you don't really, like, take anything with you necessarily.
I think they need to bulk up the spawns because on certain maps, I can spawn kill at least three people on different spawns. Like, they need to be careful of spawns and stuff. I mean, player base, too. Know where the spawns are because people might push you. But
I would say the other downfall is something that I actually want to help with because the and I've been trying to do this with a lot of different games, like, you know, this with Ghost of Tabor, Breachers, all that kind of stuff. My goal for one of my goals that I want to do for my channel is kind of create a efficient guide to the game, you know, be able to explain, you know, the overall concept along with a lot of subtle nuances that I feel like every player should know, and probably do that in around like, you know, 5 to 7 minutes because the thing that kills most great VR games is the players themselves.
Lack
like
of
there
tutorial,
will be,
not knowing,
well, I mean, not even just lack of tutorial. Like I skip the tutorial all the time. Like I'll do that. And but the thing is, I like to learn as I go.
Tabor's got a very in-depth tutorial, which is really great.
I like to learn as I go. The problem is that there's some people that will, because I play and test VR games, so I know the methodology. I don't really do a tutorial. I just run in there and I figure it out because that's the best way to kind of learn and adapt. But with intense games like Ghost of Tabor, there's so many subtle nuances. Like there's some people that don't even know you can just like craft your own bullets, you know, and be able to find like the brass and the powder and all that kind of stuff. I didn't even really pay attention to it until somebody pointed it out to me, you know, just because I was too busy trying to kill and have
there's
fun.
AP. So it goes right through armor. I love it. I run Galil AP suppressor with a decent suck. I think it's.
I actually have a Galil as well with the suppressor, but I didn't use the AP rounds yet.
Galil's OP, has no recoil when you put on the right stuff,
and you just get the headshots popping off. It's
great. It's three rounds to chest with AP. So you just.
Oh no, I prefer to get the headshots. Like I love to get the headshots.
Oh, I do too. I headshot somebody halfway across the map from you know, watchtower to watchtower. From watchtower to watchtower, I fucking cross mapped the dude one tap. It was great. I wish I was recording.
But you're talking about this. Do you think that they complicated it too much, though? Do you think that
not at all? I think that they did great things with that game, but the problem is just that there's so many subtle nuances. There's some people that, like, you know, whether they may be younger and they just don't feel like learning it, or it's, you know, maybe it's somebody who's like, all right, I've had a long work day, I just want to be able to load in and have some fun. And the problem is that the players themselves kill it because there's people that will, you know, maybe they had time off of work or time off of school or whatever, and they happen to grind out the game, or they happen to be in the alpha and grind out the game. Mm-hmm. They've got way more experience than you, so they kill you, and then you lose all your stuff, or you're just not winning, like in Ghost of Tabor Breachers, and they just don't understand the subtle nuances and the tactics that go into the game. And I want to be able to solve that. I want to be able to create a guide.
I
want to
have custom skins for Sherpas, like you know the Sherpa program for Tarkov. So like, I try to go in, and people who don't know what's going on, I try to help them. But I've been shot so many times by the people I've helped that I don't care anymore. I'm just going to shoot you in the face.
Well, I mean, I do try to help some of the new players. I've taken some of the players hostage, and then I see that they're kind of new, and I'm like, all right, I'll let you swing with us for this raid.
Nah, man, Joe, don't trust those guys. They will shoot you in the back. I've done it multiple times. Like, hey, here's a gun to protect yourself, and it's a little dinky pistol. And, you know, I'm not running helmet because, like, I just didn't care at the moment. And they're like, oh, dude, I go to extract with them, and then they shoot me in the head, and they take my shit. I'm like, what?
Well,
come on, dude.
Well, like, I want to be able to create those guides, because the problem is I don't want to see these games die. Yeah. Breachers, Ghost of Tabor, these games are fantastic that are coming out, and the number one thing that can kill them is just having those players that are like, oh, I just can't do anything. I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And they get angry, they get frustrated, they refund the game. I don't want to see that with anybody. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to at least create some kind of guide in either one part or multiple part aspects, depending on what they want to see, that where I can put this stuff out there for them as a free resource, hopefully use the devs to get it out there for them, so that way everybody can understand all the nuances about the game, and there's nobody that is confused And, you know, maybe they'll get angry because they lost their stuff. That's understandable. Yeah.
But
they
understand.
Won't get angry
yeah.
because they're like, I don't know what happened. I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah, it's a great idea. Like, I think even, like, veteran people would still use that as a resource at some times. Like you said, like, you've been in there, you did the alpha, and you didn't even know you could make bullets. So yeah, I think other people yeah. alone, like, there'd be people watching my stream, and I'll just use the crouch button. They're like, how'd you just do that? I'm like, oh, there's just you just put it in the seated mode, and you don't have to blow out my old-ass knees, you know?
Do you like the V-stock that they added? The V-stock's nice. It's weird. You have to – it's kind of like you have to lock it in place in your shoulder to get the V-stock equipped. But otherwise, it's very, you know, good at what it does. It keeps me, like, engaged.
Because
I kind of prefer to free aim. Like, I literally have a $200 gun stock that I don't use because I like
free aim. I free aim, but I'm good at enough at, like, controller stacking or, like, having my controllers put in a perfect position where I'm, like, just snap up kills, you know, but otherwise, you know,
that's what a lot of the comp players call the T-Rex method. Just like having your little arms, like
controller stacking. Yeah.
So
yeah. I did it for Pavlov. I have a team on Pavlov. All of us controller stack for the most part.
So there is one thing I want to talk about with Ghost of War that I would like to add. And it's just like, there's like other games I'll play and I'm just like, wow, I wish this was a concept in this game that I'm playing now. So it's like, I did my podcast on Sunday for Wandering in Space, where I just do a like play test to get people to understand like the gameplay of it. So I talk about it and do 30 minutes of gameplay. And while playing it, they have set gestured hands for what you grab. And I think that would be a wonderful idea in Ghost of War, because there's been multiple times where I'm trying to hurry up and loot and grab something. I'll find like a level 3 vest. I'll take my, and I have gun modules on my other vest, and you have to hurry up and grab it. Well, the next thing you know, you grab it and you pull your backpack. And so what they have is that if I go back this and I pull, I can't grab my backpack. But now if I take my left hand and I go like this, my backpack comes out. And so it'd be nice to have set
specific gestures
on it. So like, if I'm into board, I just want my backpack, I just grab my right hand, grab it. And then also, if you want your secondary weapon on a level 2 bag, instead of using your right hand to grab the whole bag, you can then grab your left.
Or you just do the pinch.
Yeah,
the,
or, like or the, something different.
Because like I have an issue. Like sometimes I'll be gripping for my backpack and I'll take my armor off. And you know, it might kill me. It might kill me one of these days, you know. I don't want it to happen, but it happens. Like, or I grab my helmet and I'm like, oh, come on, man. And I, you know.
Yeah, and that, and then.
Recorrect.
I really wish they would change their backpack system. The way that the looting and they want you to loot, I don't feel like it's completely finished. Because one, they need to add 10 times more loot than what they, because these loot missions are like stupidly hard.
I have no issues with them.
When's the last time you found an energy drink?
I get what you mean. It is hard to find the rare items.
Yeah, like rare items.
But that's kind
like
of the point, you know. It makes you want to grind. That's the it is grindy. Don't get me wrong. They need to rework all the missions to where it's like actually, hey, kill 5 players, get good XP, because like to get max traders, you have to grind or cheese. So like to get max backpack trader or the gear trader, you have to get to level 3. And then from level 3, you just buy the NVGs and you do the NVG quest and you just cheese it. And that's how you get max real quick. And it only costs you like 300,000 to 400,000.
See, but with the backpack, I would rather have it like little squares that then minimize in your backpack instead of just like there's sometimes where you have to like mingle these damn things.
I think there needs to be an item system like how Resident Evil does it.
Exactly. Hey, then, and that's how
this right here is
space.
A man that didn't play enough Tetris as a kid. You gotta fix it. Yeah. You gotta stack it.
Dude,
that's why I like the Resident Evil.
Yeah, no, well, I understand exactly what you're saying, dude. Sometimes it gets irritating, even when it's just like, oh, I know that this should fit there, and it's just like it's a fully open backpack, and I shove something in there, and it's just red the entire time.
The water filter.
I'm like, what the?
Water filter,
dude.
The water filter. If you've ever grabbed one, it does not fit in the small backpack. You have to have the big backpack, and I'm like.
Well, how much does the water filter even sell for? Is it worth grabbing?
It's like 3-4 grand. It's not worth it, dog. Don't pick it up.
The
it might
thing
be quest
that I had
XP.
Trouble fitting in there sometimes was like the big night vision.
So the way that those, you have to get the, so you have the mount side, the Rhino mount is what it's specifically called. And then you have the NVGs, right? You stick the Rhino mount. So the Rhino mount faces forward and you just put the top of the NVGs. So like this, if this was the top of the NVGs, you put this basically facing upward in your backpack and it works every time.
But what I don't understand is you have a level one backpack. That thing is deep. Then you have a level two backpack. Yes, you get to put a gun in it. But you have like this much space to put shit in it. And it's
but most 90% of items fit in that shallow space, so you can stack things very easily. But here's it is
the thing
harder.
As well, this is what pisses me off as well. Like when it comes to the looting system, is that if you find two helmets, you only get to put one on your head.
There's no helmet. Yeah, there needs to be helmet storage.
You find extra
vest. There needs to be helmet storage.
You have to either hold it and one hand it. Like you don't get to take extra vest out because you bring one in. Unless you want to hurry up and exfil with one, they need to find a way for the storage system for vest, for
vest
the helmets.
Both.
Yeah, big things.
I think we need backpacks with clips on. So if you've ever been in a situation where you have ready kits, right? So I have a ready kit for my army stuff, right? It's a helmet that's attached to my range backpack that has everything in it I'll need for the range. And I just grab it and I go to the range and I go shoot things. And like it has my helmet, it has my LBV, which is the load bearing vest, and it's just clips. It's clips on the backpack, so I can clip my helmet to the backpack, which you could do. Close the backpack, put the helmet on the front to clip it, and like it is cumbersome, but it does make sense where you have to take the helmet off and then open the backpack. That could be a system, possibly.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of fine-tuning they're going to have to do. And, like, the biggest thing is I really hope that when they have release on this game that I get all my Founder stuff back, because on day one I lost pretty much half my Founder stuff because it didn't
that,
save.
That isn't Founder stuff. That is just general items.
Just
they
general
haven't
items?
Released. Okay. They haven't released any of the Founder Edition content for us.
I was about to say, yeah. I got a lot of shit, and then on day one I lost a lot of shit. So
yeah. Because like a lot of the stuff we didn't technically get, everybody got the same items. It was a hey, you're gonna wipe soon probably.
Yeah, that's
good. Once we fix it, they're gonna wipe. I guess that entirely.
It's a good team, and you know, I do want to kind of
but for all the viewers, we are not shitting on the game.
Yeah, no,
we
no, no,
love
no.
the game.
I hope to God they don't wipe because I'm gonna lose my spoon collection.
Dude,
welcome to Tarkov.
Talk to Scott right now. I'm like, I don't give a shit what you wipe, but if you get rid
don't
of my goddamn spoon,
if you touch my fucking spoon,
exactly,
Scott,
exactly,
the spoon's gonna find its way into your eye.
So, no. Let's kind of. I know that we love talking about Ghost of War, but let's shy away from it because this is the
VR Central,
not Ghost of War. VR Central.
I mean, if you like, honestly, you guys could talk about anything. We could talk about Echo getting shut down, Population One becoming free. We could talk about the new headsets that I got to test at CES.
Okay,
the new vest that I got.
Have you seen the Deckard yet? Like, have you ever heard?
Don't
have you heard anything?
Direction. I wanted to ask him a question. Cuz, go ahead, talk about the Ducker, and then we're going to my question.
Did you hear anything about it or no?
I have not. No, I haven't really kept up with it, to be honest.
Okay, now go ahead, Geralt.
All right, this is my past three episodes, the kind of thing that I have been on a little hype about. Where do you think the health of VR is? And then also, I want to talk about your opinion on influencers of VR kind of self-sabotaging. Jeez, that was a weird word in my mouth.
Self-sabotaging?
Yeah, there we go. Dude, my nose is all nasally. That word didn't come out correctly. But what is your opinion on like people not going into the newer mainstream type of VR that we're trying to go and still try and lay back from the early freaking 2010s to 2015 range? We're like, this is old school VR. I just want to know, like, where do you think the direction of VR should go? And then should people evolve, those old school people? I'm not going to mention names. People know who I usually talk about. But where's your opinion on VR?
I mean, what do you mean about the like not evolving? You talk about people like only grinding out the same games and the same hardware.
What I mean is that when new things come out, I notice that if anything happens that remotely is off about VR, there are a handful of influencers that instantly go to YouTube and shit on VR so hard to where it pushes people away from buying headsets.
Oh, you mean like for instance, like a headset just for like a single day on launch or whatever had an issue of it crashing, and then they're just like, oh, never invest in VR because of this
like
happens
with games
or whatever
right now,
like that.
There's like three people right now where Ghost of War, like they're shitting on it so hard. I'm just like, God damn. And so I just want to know, like, where's the direction of VR? Like, how do we keep it healthy? And then like, do you think these people just need a different mindset in VR, or do you think they're just going to stay in their ways?
Well, all those people that are they're shitting on VR entirely can go make themselves with no cheese, but trademark. Anyway, the main thing that I think about that needs to really be honest with that, about VR is just that, you know, people need to recognize and see trends for themselves. And that's not really something that individuals can do unless they just want to make a YouTube video shitting on somebody, really. But, you know, you'll if you see certain people putting out videos, you'll see people that take the good with the bad. You'll see people that are like, hey, you know, this is what's coming out with the headset. And you know, here's the features of it, but it does have these major issues. If they at least point out things on both sides, you can tell they're being genuine. Whenever I try to make a review, even if I'm getting, you know, paid for a sponsorship or anything like that, I 100% tell everybody, like, you know, I tell them, one, yes, I am getting paid for this. Two, here are the good things about it. Here are the features of the game. Here's how you play it. Three, this is what I want to see improved on it, because nothing is ever going to be perfect. I'm not going to tell somebody to buy it just because I want to make a paycheck. That's never going to be my policy, and I refuse to do that. That's why I haven't taken on a sponsorship for fucking Raid Shadow Legends. But anyway, I think that people need to be able to realize these trends with what people are uploading on, because I'll see the same people, you know, and that's how their channel operates. You know, that's kind of what their mindset is. They're just like, oh, look at this. This is terrible. I hate it. Like, that's what their videos are. And if they continuously watch the same person and see the news from them, they can see that they normally shit on everything. Mm-hmm. So I think that if people realize these trends, they need to look at this guy and say, okay, literally everything he uploads on, he shits on, you know, don't just take his word for it. Take the name, literally just paste it into YouTube or Google, start looking at it from other people's views. If you just and that's what I tell other people, don't just look at my reviews. As much as I would like for you to keep watching my stuff, go watch other people's stuff, because they're going to have different opinions than I do. They're going to be able to show some things that maybe I forgot or didn't have time to put in. You know, there's people need to, it's just like being able to, you know, you're back in school trying to do research papers. You need to be able to go to multiple sources and look at all this stuff, because as much as I would like to just click on one person that always has the answers, you got to look everywhere.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with it. Because the direction that it goes, you know, it's like that has been the trend with VR. Like, you know, Mark Zuckerberg, you know, makes one mistake, and then next thing you know, they're bashing Meta, and Meta's the worst thing ever. It's just like,
I mean, to be fair, though,
I mean, Meta has problems, but you know, Meta might have its problems, but guess what? It's put so many people on the market with VR.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what I like about it. I like that they've made an affordable headset. More VR is getting more recognition. It's getting developers jobs. That's what I like about it. I don't like the fact that it's so confining. It's like, it kind of reminds me of the way that Apple is. It's just like, oh, if you have like one Apple product, you need to have everything else Apple so it all communicates. If you have a Quest 2,
some people like that, though, and that's
yeah,
the,
and I mean that's fine, and that's why that's why I'm saying don't buy it just because of that. But I get upset whenever it's just like, okay, somebody just got into VR, they've spent like $300 on games, and then a year down the road they're like, okay, I want to get a PC VR headset. They try to use Steam VR, all of a sudden they realize all the standalone games. Quest games have got to rebuy all of them on Steam because you can't use Oculus things without an Oculus product.
I had the same thing. I bought a Rift. Originally?
That was my first PC VR headset. Was the original Rift. Had to rebuy all of my games on Steam just to be able to play them on my Index.
I still haven't rebought Boneworks. I haven't rebought Boneworks, and I love Boneworks. I got the new one, which was, I forget the name exactly.
I actually wasn't even that a big fan of Boneworks or anything. And
I
then
loved
even
it, but I hated it. Like it was a very good mix of realism and like how it actually would feel.
Kind well, it like just it felt like it was to me. It was just a puzzle solver with mesh colliders, and it was just like you're going through the same rooms over and over. Like at least the same looks. Like you know, all of it has like the gray walls, and there's like orange. There's like some orange pieces and all that kind of stuff. Whatever. And then you know when Bone Lab came out, they just kind of took the same physics engine and put it on there, but gave you different environments at least. And that's what I liked about it is like, okay, this place looks different than that place. They've got like different environments for all this stuff now, even though it still is just a physics engine with mesh colliders. Yeah. But I think that those games got really overhyped because to me personally, the game was not even worth $40. Like I beat the entire campaign on a stream in like 4 hours, I think. And that was from me, like, trying to break the game. That was me, like, taking extra time to explore every nook and cranny of the map, and I beat the entire game in 4 hours. And
I love it, but it's got a lot.
It just didn't seem like there was a lot of content. I think what they really wanted to do was because Boneworks became extremely popular from people making the free mods on the game. They're like, okay, here's a sandbox game with mesh colliders, you know, to where you can just hit stuff against things. It's, you know, real, you know, people call it physics. And that's kind of the buzzword that I try to use, because that's the only thing that people seem to understand. But the calling it just like having a sandbox game where people can make free mods, I really think that Boneworks became popular because people were making things like, oh, look, there's like you can have Jedi fights in, you know, in Boneworks and all that. And they made all these free mods.
You can do that in a better game that's Melee. You can go do like, I don't know, what's the most pop? I'm blanking off the top of my head.
I mean, you could do that in Contractors now.
Dude, Contractors mods. Oh my god, there's so many of them. I love
Phenomenal.
The Star Wars mods.
Contractors mods.
Star Wars
are
mod
so good.
Is my favorite. It makes me feel like a kid again playing Star Wars Battlefront 2, not this new bullcrap
yep,
one.
Yep, nope, the original one from 2005 was always better.
Oh god. My favorite. Oh, it makes me squeal.
You know what
inside.
Made my heart melt even more than that was the fact that they recently added an MW2 loadout, like exactly one for one, all the skins, all the guns, every even like even just throwing the Semtex, you can hear beep 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 beep, like the full Semtex sounds. Everything was fully in there. And it brought me so much joy that I didn't know that I had. I was just mowing people down, getting multi kills with scars and all that.
Yes.
I started to input stuff onto here just to be able to use in those situations where some guy started killing us on the team and I was going,
Oh yes, I love it. Hey, Hyja's got something. He's like, Geralt, where's your headset? Put it on.
People don't know that I actually am in virtual reality. So, you know, I'm not in the real world. I'm actually completely...
Yeah, fake AI human.
Yeah, I'm definitely... I'm not even a real human. I'm just a figment of your imagination.
So one of the things that they actually had at CES was like these full standing AI models and all that, like holograms.
That's terrifying.
I saw some of that. That's actually really cool.
The way that it was working is like if you pull out your phone and try to record it, you could actually see it, but you couldn't see it with the naked eye. What it would do is it had like a bunch of imagine like a bunch of fans of LED strips. And so like if this is the box right here, like if I'm the AI, there's going to be like fans even like right here and all the and all that that aren't active, but they're still spinning. And then whenever the AI like moves their hand or the video or whatever moves their hand over there, then it'll become active and inactive depending on where it's at. So it's a constantly moving image from the fans that have LEDs that are just registering like where they're at in that current place and time.
Yeah,
I've seen a design where they take those and immediate like it was just like a starting out, but before they added multiple to it, there was just one. And it was this VR shoe that could literally just, you could see the shoe rotating around in the LEDs. It was so cool. It looked like 3D. It was awesome.
Oh, by the way, speaking of that CS stuff, did you just want me to talk to you about like some of the stuff that was over there with like headsets and tech?
Let's go ahead. Let's talk about CES, and then this PRB. Last thing we talked about because we try and keep this into an hour, just so just retention for.
Oh, has it already been an hour? Shit.
Yeah, I know, right? An hour's a short time when you're having fun.
Oh yeah. So we'll definitely have to keep you as a recurring customer to VR Jungle. But yeah, go ahead and give us a little spiel about CES, and then if you want to as well. Wrap up on what you your plans are for the future of VR as well, if you want to.
All right, so new headsets are coming out that you guys should probably look out for. They got the Pimax Crystal coming out. It's going to be a PC VR / standalone headset that can fully work with inside out tracking, but also pairs up with your Index base stations, so you can use that to give yourself additional tracking if you want. And it's rumored that the it might be able to have its own standalone store as well, in addition to being able to connect wirelessly to a Steam cloud.
Okay.
And a similar system is going to be implemented for the Vive XR Elite. But with the Pimax Crystal, it's a kind of, you know, a bigger headset, obviously. The Vive XR Elite, from what I got to test at it, it's basically like it's a pair of goggles, like you're looking through it. It's like that big. And it's got, you know, full one-for-one color pass-through. It's got an FOV and a resolution that's better than the Quest 2, smaller. It's got, you can, you know, plug it up to your computer via just a USB-C cable, so you can, like, have the exact same Quest setup that you have now and just plug in the new headset with whatever, like, link cable that you use or anything. It's got... full, like, it's also got full hand tracking with that stuff too. So I played a game that was like Beat Saber, but you were like a maestro commanding an orchestra, and you had one controller using like the stick, and the other one you were like pointing at it and be like, you, that kind of thing. And then there's like two new vests that are coming out that are like this, which, you know, this one works off of haptic vibrational motors. The other one working off of haptic vibrational motors is the Skinetic vest that's coming out. It's kind of like the B-Haptics, except it uses like smaller motors that are more dispersed out. Mm-hmm. So whenever you get hit with stuff, it feels more accurate on the placement of where you're getting hit.
What's the price point, though? That's the real question.
I think they said they were trying to make it comparable with the B-Haptics vest. I think they said it was going to be like around, hopefully, like 400.
Yeah, because that's the 40. B-Haptics
yeah,
is 40.
Like 400 to 500 price range, I think, is what they said. But whenever you get hit with the Skinetic vest, it doesn't feel like as intense as the B-Haptics because the motors aren't as big. So like I'll feel like I got shot, but compared to what I normally used on the B-Haptics, because I'm so used to that, it doesn't feel as intense. It's just like, okay, if I get hit with machine gun, I can feel the bullets on here and it feels like I should. But then if I were to use the Skinetic vest on the same thing, it feels like I was getting hit with like a pellet gun. You know, it doesn't feel as intense, but it's more accurate.
So comp stuff, right? If you play comp, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I kind of reserve and sub in for some matches just because people know like how much I play and all that.
So I play Pavlov with VR, with the Index controllers, of course, right? So VR, for the controllers, if you have your vibration on, it will mess up your aim. So for those who want to try it, turn off your vibration on your controllers. It really increases your aim. Like, it because of the it's a small, slight distraction that actually bothers your OODA loop. If you don't know what that is, that's the way your brain functions. It'll mess up your brain functioning, and it'll, like, kick your aim off.
No, that's 100% true. When I...
If you want to talk about messing up aim, I got the full feedback
different.
In the arm.
That's asking for it.
I know, right? Because when I competitively played in Call of Duty, my whole team turned their rumbles off.
It actually helps. So if any of those who want to get more serious, turn off your vibrations.
Well, and then last thing that I'm looking forward to coming out from CES is going to be the OWO vest that we talked about earlier. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, I mean, obviously I feel like everybody knows that is that point. The OWO vest, I already got a pre-order in for that. I got a pre-order for the Vive. I'm currently talking with the Pimax Crystal guys to see if I can get a loan out for them to like see if they'll send me the headset. I haven't heard anything about the Skinetic vest yet. I try to talk to the guys. They're a little bit unresponsive just because, like, the development is still, like, very heavy in progress. So they're, like, got their heads down and all that. But there's a lot of, you know, good tech that's coming out for VR that I think is going to balance out the fact that we've got great games coming out. You know, we've got, like you talked about, Ghosts of Tabor. We got Breachers coming out soon in April. There's, like, some other games that are coming out soon that I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to just making videos for all that, showing everybody a good time on the stream.
Yeah, me too. Honestly, I'm gonna hear starting soon.
Because we're talking about contractors, I think I can say confidently I now hold the record for being the first ever content creator to have their own customized merch from contractors. I literally just got in the mail like 5 minutes before the podcast I got on here. They sent me contractors merch with my logo and like some of my like character animations on and all that.
Can you show it off at all, perchance?
I don't think I can, but I will be. I'll send Gerald see some pictures.
Yeah, definitely do that because I'll post them. I'll post them and show people.
Yeah.
What do you think about the future of VR? You think we're heading in the correct direction, or what do you think?
I think we're heading in the correct direction. There just needs to be more awareness of people that are, you know, they need to know what's going on in VR and they need to, like, you know, make themselves more informed. I literally was playing Vertical Shift and some kid was like, oh yeah, I'm on the Quest. I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm playing on Steam, like as in Steam VR, but I just said I'm playing on Steam. And he goes, I don't know, it's just playing on VR is just more funner. Like, as me saying Steam to him didn't register that I was in Steam VR. Like, there's so many people that I'll say, like, oh, I'm using the Valve Index. They're like, oh, what is that? Is that Oculus?
Yeah.
And that's their first thing they always say. People need to get more informed about VR because otherwise it's just going to die whenever, you know, Meta has a full chokehold on it. The only way that we're going to, you know, breed a good VR wellness is from competition.
Yeah, and I agree. And, like, that's why people, like, the biggest thing, like, even me and Cuss did a podcast the last two times that we've had these podcasts without a guest is kind of talking and trying to help influence people to really think about who you're watching and watch other people. There's other great content creators out there, and form an opinion based off of the whole spectrum of what's going on. Because if you're listening to one person, and the sad thing is, there's like one person I know that gets up to 500,000 views, you know, sometimes a million. And those aren't all VR players. You know, these are green people that saw this video, want to maybe dabble into VR, and then the first thing they see is them shitting on VR, and a person of VR shitting on VR, and they're like, yeah. And it instantly sends them away from VR. And so that's the biggest thing that I've been trying to preach lately, is that as someone who owns an esports team and does this podcast, I 100% for the community. And yeah, we sometimes talk about the jank of games, but I will never sit here and bash VR or talk shit about any type of thing about VR. You know, yeah. I try and up it as much as possible. And that's why I try and bring people like you on. I try and bring developers on so people can actually see a fresh perspective. Like, a lot of people didn't know who Scott was. And a lot of people were just like, oh, it's some guy from Vril that now is making Ghost and Boar. He's kind of a dickhead. And then, like, he comes on and they're just like, Scott is the realest mother. You know, he's the realest person ever. You know, and I'll tell you how real he is.
I've got to talk. I worked with them to be able to make those videos. Like, I've got two videos up on Ghost of Tabor that Scott was like working with me to make those like early on in development.
Lucas Ghost has a question for you. He's asking, for the Vertical Shift League, which is the weekly tournament, will you be casting some games?
You know what? I definitely need to try to cast some Vertical Shift, and if you guys haven't tried that game, one of the best free games available on Quest.
Yeah, one of the best games in the world.
So good.
Yeah, we have two V Shift teams.
Yeah,
right?
one of them is at the top in the world. So
yeah.
Oh no, that's right. Yeah, the Havoc team is Havoc Incarnate. I'm like staring at the VR Jungle logo, and my brain doesn't register Havoc.
One of my very first guests on VR Jungle.
And we just won the tournament. Was it V Shift that won that tournament?
To be able to cast that game though, you got to be on some like cocaine or something, because there's
so much
stuff.
That's why I
want
to cast it. I want to do it because I can go nuts sometimes.
Oh yeah.
It was the.
I definitely need to get back into casting. I used to cast Onward all the time. I casted some Veil like back whenever they had their second pre-alpha tournament. I casted that whole thing by myself. And then I've casted like my own Onward tournament before, and did some contractors as well. But I need to like get into more of this kind of casting stuff. I did Population 1 for the first time like 2 weeks ago.
That's cool.
I want to be able to do that more, because like I've been doing some, not only just from casting, but I've been starting to get into voice acting a little bit lately, where developers have been putting my voice in their game.
Yeah, you got a nice voice.
VR games. And it's funny to be able to mess around with it, because I can, through like just trying to manipulate like, you know, vocal cords and all that, along with audio engineering, I can sound like multiple people inside of a game. And so like I can just sound like some
To hire a single person that can do multiple voices.
Some of them in the beginning I just started doing it for free just because I enjoyed it. Like, there was a game called Mental, which is kind of like GTA but in VR. And the guy asked me to voice like some of the people that like have the random voice lines for if they get mugged. So you just go up and point a pistol at somebody. I'm like, oh, please don't do this. And so like, you know, just being able to like do that kind of stuff and have like, and it helps the developers too. Like, you know, for me to be able to say, oh, like my cosmetic is inside this game, like with Grapple Tournament, which is a great game.
Underrated game.
A completely underrated, phenomenal game. I actually won the first Grapple Tournament Championship that they hosted.
Whoever designed the AI on that, they needed an Academy Award.
Those things are brutal.
Dude,
I've got my own cosmetic and Vertical Shift. I've got my Grapple Tournament, and I've got my voice is actually in Vertical Shift. I've got a voice in Mental and stuff like that, and some other games that are coming out. Me being able to say like, oh, I'm in this game, mm-hmm. does help developers in some sense, because some of my community members have bought the game just because they're like, oh, he's actually in here. He's like immortalized in the game.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. Like, to play a game and you walk up and you're just like, you're me.
Well, that's what messes with me. Ghost of Tabor, if you know somebody, because the guy who voices like the intercom things and the holograms, all that, that's Proper D.
Yeah.
I've known him for years. And played VR with him for years, and it's so weird to just hear him constantly in the game.
Yeah, it's funny. So, yeah, so we're going to – anything last news before I do the little wrap-up spiel?
You know what? I appreciate you guys having me on. I hope everybody's subscribed to VR Jungle for my community. And for anybody that wants to check me out, the link tree is in the description, like you said. You know, not going to sit here and beg for follows and subs. Just if you want to look me up, I hope you have a good time and you like what you see. Hope I can make you laugh. Hope I can inform you. And hope you have a fucking fantastic day.
Yeah, I think I'm subbed for your YouTube.
So I'm gonna switch well, over I appreciate to that. And I'm gonna do my other screen again just to kind of show people there. Like Y said, there is the link in the description. This cut pops up this lovely link tree of a whole bunch of stuff. So definitely go and click all those things. Give them a like. This is the reason why we do these podcasts, is to help promote people like him that do great things in VR. Like, he literally has been giving away, I think ended last Sunday, he gave away the 256 gig VR headset for a Quest, which is, you know, not many people are doing that. That's great. He gave away 10 copies.
That was actually the fourth headset I gave out.
It's fourth headset. Yeah. He gave away 10 copies of Ghost of War over the weekend. So that he's doing great things for VR, and he's not doing it for the follows or the selfishness of doing it. He's doing it because he finds something that he really enjoys, and he wants to help promote the games, grow, and see other people in it as well. So definitely check him out. Check me out. I will be doing my daily streaming as well. I've been playing all sorts of random stuff. I'm now doing a new segment for VR Jungle on Sunday. Ironically, I will be doing Ghosts of the Boar for this Sunday spotlight. And then the weekend after that, I will be doing Breacher, since the release will be on that Thursday. Go check out Cuss.
He's, I'll be on vacation.
And he will be on vacation, but he will also be getting up on his streaming stuff as well. And next Monday,
I've been doing a ton of the comp gameplay, tons of streams on comp gameplay. We had two matches. We faced the best in the league yesterday, and we got pretty close to winning two different games. It was like 10-8, 10-8. I was like, oh, yeah. So
you know, and I'm keeping up with all this VR stuff. So if either one of you guys, like, you know, even after this, if you like want to hit me up, if you're like, hey, do you have this tech? What's your opinion on it? I can tell you about cyber shoes, haptics, all that stuff.
Awesome.
If you're like, hey, I want to know how to set up your stream, how you have like this on there particularly, like, by all means, ask me. I'm not going to be the kind of guy that's like, oh, I don't want to tell you because I want to be unique, and I'm going to sit you through the torture of having to figure it out yourself like I did. Like, I'm not a prick.
Yeah.
You know, if you got a question, if I can save you an hour, I'll tell you how to do it. You know, as long as I got time to do it, because I got a busy schedule.
Of course.
And that's why I like you. I also like, that's what, like, even like, I there's something from your stream that I was looking at the other day, and then I was on like even J Bar's stream, and he had a heart rate monitor. I'm like, dude, what is that? And he just like straight up. He's like, this is what you do, this is the website, and he did it through stream, and I'm just like, dude, you're freaking awesome. So that's why we have you on, is because
he probably sets it up through like an Apple Watch, right?
I do mine through my Whoop. But that's why I've had him on multiple times. I plan on having you on multiple times. I try and find people that have the same visual views as VR Jungle, which is to promote it, not push people away, and not be assholes. That's our main motto for VR Jungle and Havoc, which is VR Jungle is owned by Havoc, is plastered on our website, is we do not allow toxicity. I have literally dropped the best teams in the world because they have been toxic. So that's what we are about, and so we'll end on that.
Definitely. Oh, I thought it was about, you know, just around and find out.
There you go. There, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
my favorite graph. Yeah, my favorite graph.
So
you have to find out at a seven to fuck around at a seven.
Yeah. So other than that, go to his Wise's Discord. It's VR Central. Go check out all his stuff. We will see you on Sunday, and then again on Monday at our new time, 7 Central, 8 Eastern. We will see you all later. A wave goodbye, everybody.